This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a cursed talisman
must be in want of a hex reversal.
Good morning, Night Vale.
Hello, I'm Hal, your daily dose of Steve Carlsberg.
And I'm Symphony, your weekly dose of babe-ism.
And I am Meg, your bi-monthly heterosexual dose of, I don't know where we're at. I'm very tired. And I'm back!
Yay! Hey! Meg's back.
Welcome back.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're so pumped to have you back, babe.
Feels so very good to be back. Feels so very late in the evening for me. But yeah, I have to tell you guys, I'm a completely different person than the last time I spoke to all of you. You, the audience, not you, Hal and Symphony, because I spoke to you 5 minutes before we started this recording. But whew, having a baby changes your whole damn life.
Yeah.
Your whole damn life. Literally everything about you.
That's what I've heard. But you're still cool and great.
I'm still cool. I'm still great. And I'm still here recapping episodes of Welcome to Night Vale. Because it's a good podcast. And we like to make a good podcast about this good podcast. And today, we're coming to you from September 30th at 9:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's where we are in time. And in the future, when you listen to this in a week, you can think back fondly of us.
Remember the 30th of September.
That's what they say.
That's right. And this episode is 95, Zookeeper. And the description is, Zookeeper Joanna Ray brings some animals to the studio. Plus, an update on Old Woman Josie, dragons in town, and a look at traffic. Let's talk about it.
Let us talk about it. Let us convene to chat about it. What a fun episode. Felicia Day. Great.
So fun.
Felicia Day was going to be on this episode as a guest, but I didn't ask her. So
that is okay. We'll Phantom Felicia, I'm sure, would be excited to talk about this episode.
Yes.
It's so funny. I saw Felicia years ago. One of my best friends, Jordan, was doing comedy at the Acme Theater in Los Angeles, California, right there on La Brea Avenue, attached to a restaurant. And in his show was a young Felicia Day, who was just starting the Guild, which would become her catapult to fame. And I remember watching it at the time going like, oh, this is – I don't really play these games. But I hope she does well. And then look how popular it became. And look how famous she is. And the number of times we have met. It took us several times of us meeting for her to remember, because she meets so many people. But she is always kind and very talented, as we hear here. This is – I always love – did you both watch a lot of like Jack Hanna on Johnny Carson, like zookeepers on talk shows? It's a pretty like well-worn trope, right?
I do kind of slightly recall that from when I was a kid. But like, I mean, that's a pretty common thing on a lot of talk shows. So that, and you know, I mean, I feel like even like Ellen or somebody, you know, people have, and like people get excited. I just recently saw an episode of Cardi Tries It, where she went to a zoo and met some like reptiles, and she just, you know, screamed the whole time. It was fun. It was really fun. But we've actually met some animals on our trips. We got to hold a koala when we were in Australia. Australia? I can never do it. I can never say Australia.
And Straya. And then we always get to meet those dogs at the airport.
Oh, that's the best, actually.
It's really nice when there's dogs at the airport.
The Albert QQ one is always has. Always have cool dogs.
Hot tip, flying to ABQ. You can pet a dog.
And they have little uniforms.
Then there's also the petting zoo that we encountered on tour.
Yes.
On Easter Sunday in 2015. Classic.
Classic photos.
Classic. Jeffrey booked us brunch at this restaurant, and we went, and there was a full-on petting zoo. And so there's pictures of all of the Night Vale cast holding bunnies and lambs and
goats and stuff.
One of my favorite pictures of me is just like me holding a lamb. I'm just so excited to be holding a lamb. Yeah. So this is kind of like an interesting synergy because we have this animal episode, which is coinciding with Fat Bear Week. For right now, where we're coming to you from is Fat Bear Week. It'll be Fat Bear Tuesday, the Tuesday before this episode comes out. So we will already have a winner by the time this episode airs. You guys will know who was the fattest bear. So so right now it's just really great synergy that's happening in our lives.
I'm betting on Walker or Otis.
Walker, man. Walker's here to take it.
I really want Otis to repeat.
I know.
Is a previous champion.
I have him in there.
So I feel like he brings experience into it. But my bracket, we are part of a bracket. Yes. Each of us have filled out a bracket along a larger sort of group. A Night Vale contingent has filled out a bracket. My bracket was immediately busted. Both of my picks are like blown out entirely. But I also don't know how all this works. So maybe I'll still win. Who knows? We all win because the bears get fat and we get to see it.
And we see them.
I like kind of intentionally busted my I always have to vote for Holly because I love Holly. Holly was the 2019 winner. Yeah. She's also a mom, and I have to support moms. So
I feel that. Moms supporting moms.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's only right, you know?
I picked Holly because you picked Holly. Because I was like, nobody knows Fat Bear Week.
Like Meg.
Nobody I know on this planet. Meg is the queen of Fat Bear Week. She turned me on to
it.
I've written questions about it for my day job, for the trivia game that I run. And it's all...
Oh, shut up.
It's, for real. All due to Meg. So I was like, well, surely if anybody knows anything.
Who's got the inside,
It's going to be Holly making it pretty deep.
But you didn't know that I'm a different person now. I'm rewired.
I didn't think about it. I didn't factor in the motherhood.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to support moms. But yeah, so, you know, Holly, there's always next year. There's always next year. And they eat up to 30 salmon a day.
That's a lot of
and
salmon.
That's something to be celebrated.
You know what I didn't know is that I feel so stupid saying this, that hibernation, they're not just asleep the whole time.
They're just like real, real low key.
Yeah.
Why did I think that they were like legit, like asleep the whole, like all through the winter till the spring?
Yeah.
Never came out of their cave.
That's what we're
not
told.
What happened.
It's what we're told.
We're told a bucket of lies.
Yeah.
In our educational system.
That's true.
As we well know. Anyways, back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, the rumblings of the dragon stuff coming up is going to be problematic. And I mean, I still say justice for Hiram, but I don't know. I'm a little nervous. But you know what else makes me nervous? Sentient tarantulas.
I can't. I'm so... scared of them that when I look at the word in print, it scares me because I immediately imagine. So when I was a kid, we would walk to the doctor's pet shop that was on Cottman Avenue to get food for our dog. And there was an area of the store that you had to walk through a door to get to. It was behind glass. Only employees were there. And that was where dogs were there. But then they had a series of aquariums. And one of the aquariums was a tarantula. And it would just sit there. And I would look at it, and every once in a while, just one leg would go up. And I would sit there, like, entranced by it, certain that just by staring at it, it was going to wind up on me and drain my life with its two fangs. And I've been terrified ever since. It's never gotten better. It's only gotten worse.
I mean, first of all, I don't think they – do they bite people?
Yes, they can. They're venomous.
Okay, will it hurt you?
Yes, it's venom.
Like really bad?
Yes. I mean, you will turn into venom. The Tom Hardy character.
Oh.
Now in theaters. Oh. And select streaming services. Yeah, they're danger. They're They can, and some of them,
I don't know,
are so big.
I hear they're always in like bananas.
When they were doing Arachnophobia, they had like the queen spider. And they had an actual bird-eating spider from Argentina. And the handler's like, look at this thing. And it's like holding its legs open to show you how big it is. And it's the size of like a horse. And it will, like, there's no way that thing won't kill you even just by walking
on you. That's disgusting.
So all spiders, I'm not into it. I get that they eat, they can do their work out of my sight.
Okay.
And we're good at my house. We're fine. I'll take care of the insects myself. You don't need to come here. You are not welcome. In my home, spiders. You are not welcome in my home. I'm saying that right now.
I agree with you. Inside, if I see you, you've broken our covenant.
Yes.
You've broken our covenant. So I am not worried or sad about killing you. Sorry. And I will try to rehome you if I can, but probably not. I might suck you up with my vacuum.
I'll rehome you back to hell where all the other spiders are. That's where you can go with your dead eyes. And you're dead, like, you're killers. You're killers. You are killers.
You murdering murderers.
And I can't. The fact that they're learning to read and that Night Vale has all these spider reading programs. And I know that Jeffrey at least shares my fear of spiders.
Absolutely.
But he seems to attack it. He seems to be like, I'm going to write about spiders a lot. No.
Yeah, I wonder if he wrote this part.
Jeffrey, stop.
I think he did.
Please, Jeffrey, stop. For both of our sakes. Because you have to think about it, and then I have to hear it and talk about it. Neither of us want this.
I feel like Joseph might have written it, because Joseph like kind of like would write stuff about spiders just to fuck with Jeffrey.
Joseph, stop it! You're hurting more than one person.
Yeah, lots of people, I'm sure. But yeah, teach a tarantula to read. Stop the madness. Which is the, throwback to episode 5.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I do like that this feels sort of like a bottle episode. It's not really, it does touch on what's happening with Hiram a little bit, which tees up our next episode, but that it's mostly just about the shape-shifting zookeeper.
Yeah. Before the break when she was like, came back and was like, I'm a shapeshifter, I wrote down werepanther ?
Their panther.
Like a werepanther, you know.
In studio.
Yeah.
That's a great, thank you. That's I'm not a dad, but I use their jokes. I can't help it. That's for all you kids out there. Uncle Hal's got jokes.
Always with the jokes. But yeah, she turned into aware because she shapeshifts, which means she can do much more than just that one form. But she ate all those sweet piggies and that weird chicken. And what
cow?
Else did she bring?
Didn't she? Oh, she talks about eating a cow. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a bunch of like a long horn steer.
I love this setup of that
long neck girl.
The setup of that where Cecil's like saying all the pigs' names, and Cecil obviously has this like affinity for these little piggies, and then it's like those are Chekhov's kit piggies, Cecil, because they're not making it out of this episode.
And then he makes poor Kareem clean it
up. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Yep.
But it also is an interesting that dissection of I change when I eat because it would look weird if just a person was eating a cow, like a whole cow. And you wear a t-shirt to the gym, or you wear the t-shirt around the house, but you wouldn't wear it for a more formal occasion, unless you're me, who wears the same t-shirt. I'm wearing my crossover. This thing is
one of four.
This thing is barely hanging on. It is so, there are holes, but I still wear it.
Oh, no.
Because at this point, who gives a shit? It's been almost 2 years. I will never leave here. So I might as well just wear the shirt that's comfortable for me. Although I'm eating my way out of it slowly, by which I mean I'm eating to the point where it's no longer going to fit. But it is like, I wear t-shirts everywhere. I understood what she was saying, but I also don't identify with it. I guess I would say that.
Well,
t-shirts are great. I'm wearing a t-shirt right now that says, fuck ice, no borders.
I'm just wearing an all hail shirt, which I cut the arms off of so I can show my muscles.
Sun's out.
Um, But yeah, Cecil was like wearing a cummerbund though, right?
Oh yeah, it was a fun little Cecil fashion episode.
And plastic raincoat.
Yeah, yeah. Just way to go, Cecil. Cecil, the cummerbund and capri pants.
Oh, capri pants. Yes, that's what it was. I'm also like, I always, because I imagine Cecil, like Cecil Baldwin, wearing capri pants and a cummerbund, but like no shirt and like a raincoat, like a plastic raincoat. And I'm like, that's a look, honey.
I was going to say.
I feel like Cecil's worn that on stage before.
Absolutely. Oh, when he looked like Zorg.
It's been such an interesting evolution of Cecil on stage as Cecil, the character. Because it's also, like, those outfits are Cecil Baldwin, for sure. But, like, from the early days of wearing a suit, because you wore a suit, that's just what you did on stage, to, like, now everybody's going to wear what they find interesting and just how that has evolved and changed and his look as well, to the point where conceivably he could have worn capri pants, a cummerbund, a raincoat, and nothing else on stage. And we would have expected it at this point. It just feels like, or is this describing something that's already happened and we're just putting it in the podcast to make it canon?
I actually like when occasionally this has happened, like there'll be on stage, on some stages, because like they usually have music there, they'll have a rug on the ground, and Cecil will choose sometimes that those nights he won't wear shoes. And that's only happened a couple of times, but I found that so fun. He's like, I'm just not going to wear shoes. I'm like, you are such an Aquarius.
I'm just not cool to go barefoot a place that's not like a home.
Yeah. Well, also on a lot of stages, I'm like, there's nails.
Staples.
Out here.
And glass and glitter.
Look, it's part of his
splinters.
Look, you know. He's a tough country boy.
Yeah, he's definitely tougher than... He's definitely more comfortable with stuff than I am.
Plus, as much money as I spend on these dang shoes, you are going to see it. Okay?
Yeah.
And
I'm going to wear them. I'm going to chase Meg in them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I'm going to tell you, in full high heel... We have run across the stages of the world.
At an impressive clip, too.
Chase each other. Oh, it's been great.
You both move.
That's what I'm saying. I haul ass.
That we both did. We both really did. I had to.
I know.
You were not. This was not a game. This was acting, but it was not. But not for Jen.
When somebody runs after you, even if it gets your adrenaline going. Even like if it's even if it's a friend and it's like as a joke, you get like the I'm being the fight or flight kicks in and you go.
Yep. We were in our heels and we did not break our ankles.
Not once.
Too skilled. Strong ankles.
Which was a miracle.
I know. Because sometimes there's just holes in shit. Like there's holes in stages.
And stuff is slippery.
Yeah. And those heels are treacherous.
Yeah. And we're tired.
That's right. But we're intact as far as that.
We survived.
And so apparently is Old Woman Josie.
For the moment, Old Woman Josie.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like it's going to be bad. It's going to make me sad.
She's Chekhov's old lady.
Somebody's going to fire her off.
Well, and then her daughter, Alondra, who we've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of contention there. But, like, because she's an old woman who lives alone, in quotation marks, but we all know she lives. But do they really take care of her if she's still, I mean, I guess old people, you can't do much about it, you know?
True. It's true. Yeah, there's not.
Yep.
Well, because I mean.
Hey,
AARP.
You know you can join AARP at any age and get the discounts? Do we all have memberships or just me?
I did know that.
I'm going to join. No, I'm totally going to join because I was like, oh, you can do that and get hotel discounts.
I signed up and I got an email from them. It was like, test your brain health right now. Like, just test your brain, like your memory, see how good it is, and then here are some tips to strengthen it. I was like, I want to see, I want to take the test. Anytime there's a test like that, I want to take it. And it was behind a paywall.
Yeah.
And then I thought, that's how they get you. They have all these third-party companies that come in, and you pay extra so you can remember things. You can just do the crossword puzzle. Just do the crossword puzzle, everybody. Do Sudoku. Like Uncle Hal, your brain will be a steel trap.
You know how I keep my brain fresh?
How?
Nurse a baby at 3 o'clock in the morning. Duh. And scroll through Instagram on my phone. That's why I'm sharp as a tack right now, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Sharp as a damn tack.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? You're still funny and very beautiful.
Thank you.
You have the glow of motherhood.
Thanks. It's great.
It's beautiful.
It's really good.
Are you, when you need to stay up, this is the other major thing for me in this episode is the Starbucks portion, because it really feels like a commentary to me on the cult of coffee. This idea of you need it to like, oh, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. Like that's sort of the joke that people make. But I think there's truth in that there are people who've gotten to the point where they are unable to function without coffee because it is an addiction. You get addicted to the caffeine of it all, and then it just becomes necessary fuel. Is that true for either of you? Because you're both coffee drinkers, but I feel like I don't remember that either of you are like, I'm not a human until the coffee's in my system.
I'm not like that. I enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning. And then when we were on the road, I would need to have a cup of coffee in the afternoon or else we weren't going to get where we're going. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I would just like be very sleepy after lunch.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I don't know. I actually stopped drinking coffee for a little bit after I had the baby because I was just like, there was no morning anymore. Like, you know, they have coffee in the morning, but there was no morning because I was on a 24-hour day.
Yeah.
So I stopped drinking coffee for a bit. And then I went back to it because it's nice and comforting.
Yeah.
I like the routine of it.
Yeah.
You know, Meg, because I know you generally have coffee like first thing. Like, and I'm very much the same. I wake up, I grind my beans, I put it in my French press. It's a kind of a ritual. And I go about, it helps me go about the business of my day. Am I like, it? Have I gone without coffee before? Yes. And there was a long time that I was one of those people that was like, I don't drink. I don't need coffee. I have natural energy. But also I'm like, man, coffee tastes good. If it, like you have it the way you want it. There was a time and sometimes this is why I like going to Starbucks. I know that's a contentious thing. Or as I call it, St. Arbucks. or Starbougie. I call them both of those. But Meg and I were in Detroit once, and we went to this fancy schmancy coffee place. And they were, like, so snotty that I was like, do you have any, like, sweetener or, like, oat milk or something? And they were like, generally, we don't put blah, blah, blah in this. I'm like, can't I just have it the way fucking like it.
You're like, can I get an iced coffee with oat milk? And they were like, we don't do iced coffee. And if we were to make you an iced coffee, we wouldn't put oat milk in it.
Oh my God.
You're like, please.
That is where it gets like, just burn that place to the ground. Like, just, it's you, you get to have it however you want.
Right.
It's your, they don't have to drink it.
Right. I'm sorry I'm ruining your perfect.
Yeah, did you grow the beans? Is that why? Because it's a very, it's your precious crop that has to be served a certain way. Get out of here. Leave Symphony alone.
Hashtag leave Symphony alone. Let her have her coffee. I understand that, but that's why I like Starbucks sometimes, because it's the simplicity of knowing that I can get virtually the same thing every place I go.
Yeah. And whatever you want, it's your choice and they will give it to you. However you order it, they'll go, okay, 3 pumps, 1, 2, 3. They don't go, we can't have a precious Starbucks ruined by three pumps.
Because babies, I want it my way.
Exactly.
Starbucks.
And bring your attitude. Don't you have to come in there in a good attitude.
Oh, also, I wish all the baristas could say to people, because some people do be tripping they in do. The Starbucks, yelling and being rude, and there's no need for that. It's coffee, mate. It's coffee.
Not that serious.
Yeah. It's not that deep, bro. It's not that deep. So try to keep that attitude away from them. Okay.
But that's why I love that phrase of don't come here with your nasty attitude and expect us to bear the weight. Cool your hot mess before you show your face around here.
I wish they all had shirts that said that. Starbucks, you should do it.
Not only is it good for Starbucks, it's just good for life. Cool your hot mess before you bring it up. Like, just, we can't bear the weight. Just
that's true.
Cool. Be cool. Just be fucking cool.
Yeah. Ice cold, baby.
What's cooler than being cold.
That's good. Up next, we hear from fans and friends of the podcast about their theories, comments, and questions. But first, conversation about this episode's weather. This week's weather is Coffee by Sylvan Esso.
Speaking of coffee, on the coffee conversation.
Friends. That's wild. I literally didn't even look at that before we started having that conversation. Anyways, I love this song. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was very cool and it felt like hip, like very edgy. Like you would hear this maybe in a cool coffee shop or something.
Yeah.
But like, I think the shake egg is a very underrated percussion.
Yep.
And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. I thought it was really cool sounding. What did you guys think?
I agree. The shake egg is, the shake egg is fantastic. I feel like that it's so simple, but it's also just a joy. It's fun. Like, it feels like anybody can play it, but there is something to
it. Did your shoulders go like this?
To get the right shake, to keep it going.
Right? To keep the rhythm going.
To keep the physics of it happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very feminine instrument.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so with the egg.
Yeah. I've heard the song so many times. It's a favorite of Joseph's. So it's been played a lot. It's actually a big get. Sylvan Esso is somewhat of a big deal.
Oh, great.
This is off their first album called Sylvan Esso.
Nice.
Sylvan Esso is a two-piece band. Actually, it's more than that now, but it's the two main members. And then they've worked with different people throughout time. They were married in 2016, but they started making music together first.
Oh.
And they actually recently just put out a podcast about the making of their most recent album. So.
Oh, cool.
So there's your synergy.
What's it called?
I don't know.
Okay.
It has sort of like a, it's not quite pamplemousse. There's something pamplemousse about it, about the sound of it. Am I crazy? Maybe it's just it's just her vocals.
Pamplemousse.
I'm not familiar enough with pamplemousse, other than that it's grapefruit in French.
I know. I'm like the LaCroix.
I'll send some links.
This a band?
It is a man, male female duo. Very good. But this in a positive way. That is a compliment to say that the sound reminded me of pamplemousse a little bit.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, okay. Cool. The new podcast is called Shaking Out the Numb.
Hmm. Oh, that's a good name. All right.
Maybe like the egg. Shaking out the numb. Cool. Thanks, Sylvan.
We don't have any eggs here. We should get eggs.
I don't, you know what? I'm not feeling eggs right now. You know what I am feeling?
Tell me.
Something hot, delicious, and cheesy.
A calzone?
Yes, let's do it. I'm starving.
Let's go to the Fence on Calzone. I also would just like to state for the record that Symphony came to visit my house and myself and my child last week, and we made calzones.
I'm jealous.
And
they were
fine. All of that. I'm jealous of all the things that Symphony got to do and that I wasn't there to do it with.
Well, we learned lessons from making the calzones, and so we will have to get together and make an even better one with you, Halle Bear.
I would love that. When I'm not deathly afraid of climbing onto a plane and traveling anywhere again, I will happily make a calzone.
Remember when there was that like brief window? It was like 2 weeks long in June where we were like, it's going to be.
That was when I flew.
I know.
That whole trip.
You FaceTimed. I've got to FaceTime with your wife's family's pregnant horse.
That's right. Yes, I made your dream come true.
And then I went into labor like 12 hours later.
Yeah, that was.
See,
you're welcome.
It was because of the horse.
It's because I FaceTimed with the pregnant horse.
Yeah, I'm a horse obstetrician, but for people, I help move the baby along. Yeah.
You can't come face to face with glory like that and not have a baby immediately.
Yeah. All I'm saying is if anyone is looking to induce labor, try to FaceTime with a pregnant horse.
Yeah. Look, Meg, I did for free. Other people I charge. So,
yeah.
But we don't go through insurance. It's just you and me. We'll work out a deal. Facebook Marketplace. Hit me up.
Anyway. Go directly to Hal, because if you're Googling pregnant horse, you're going to find stuff you don't want to find.
That's not, That is not how you find me.
Stay right there. Good Morning Night Vale will return after a brief break.
I selected this specific fan zone because of listening to some episodes while I was not present. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you still listen to us?
Of course I do. I'm still producing. I know, of course. And I had to. I'm a fan of you guys. I actually enjoy the show more when I'm not on it listening to it.
No.
Because then I don't have to be like, well, why did I say that?
We love our guests.
Yes. We had fantastic people.
Cecil and Kate. We had amazing time with them. But Meg, babe, we missed you.
You're the third leg of the tripod.
That's right.
That's how we stand.
I know. We're full on gang. We're full on pod gang. We're a pod.
Anyway, gang, gang.
So this letter comes to us from the anonymous poop lady.
Yes. Yes.
So the anonymous poop lady writes, "Hi friends, anon poop lady checking in mid episode. All right. To let you know that I'm solidly on team Hal. Mm-hmm. No judgment. Don't want to yuck on your yum, but I totally get it. Thanks for another installment of Good Morning Colon Hydrotherapy. XX anon poop lady poop emoji." So I put this in because I was listening to All Right. I was like, wow, we really have talked about, for a show that's not about colon hydrotherapy.
Not at all.
We certainly talk about it a ton.
I know.
A shit ton.
Stop. It is because Hal keeps bringing it up. I'm ready to drop it.
I think that's why I put it there.
We have a difference of opinion, and that's okay.
Yes.
As an experiment, I would like us to try to go 365 days without speaking of it.
Oh, good luck. You know,
today.
I recently heard a story of somebody who was having this done. This is true. And midway through, they realized they had to make a duty. It made them have to make a duty.
Yeah.
But at this place, you don't make the duty on the table and then it washes over you as it goes down whatever drain.
Doesn't wash over you.
Somebody's going to have to draw it. Doesn't matter. But they had to get up and walk across the room to a toilet that was sitting in the corner while the person was there supervising. And every step,
right.
They were jetting water out of their butthole like Tony Stark. Just like... As they were walking.
Right.
No, that's because they, you know, there's so much water up there. There's so much water, the whole aquarium. And then this person had to go sit.
No.
First of all, you have to sit in a toilet that's not even divided. You just sit it like, can I sit on this toilet in front of you? Is this some weird 50 Shades of Grey thing? But then just to rocket it out with every step is, I don't. We'll have to do a live stream where you actually draw it out so that I understand how it works. Anyway, thank you, anonymous poop lady, for being on my team. Okay. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
Can we just...
From today.
Okay. So I did try, guys.
I promise. I'll drop it for at least 14 days.
All right.
One fortnight.
A fortnight.
So basically the next time we meet.
Cool. However you calculate it, it's fine. I'm not a numbers guy.
All right.
Just number two. Anyway.
Up next in the Cal Zone, we have Leanne of Leanne's 80 Headcanons. Leanne writes, Cecil is a shapeshifter and can change appearance at will.
Okay.
Possibly. I mean, I don't think so, because I think everybody still recognizes him as Cecil. And anytime he's come across shapeshifters, it's been something that he finds novel.
That's true.
because when he was hanging out with Josh Creighton in a live show, I think, he's like, oh, what can you do? Like, he's trying to, like, and I don't think that's just him asking questions as a news person. I think it's he's actually questioning it. I don't know. I could be wrong.
What if he can change his clothes at will? Like Iron Man's suit. Like the nanotechnology where it changes into different things. Maybe that's that could work. Because then he could still be like, you could change your whole body? What? I thought it was just clothing.
Okay, I see.
Anyway. Yeah,
could be. That'd be cool, actually. I would love that shape-shifting ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save me a lot of laundry and folding of clothes.
I could fix this shirt. I'm writing this thing into the... I'm going to look like Chevy Chase on the poster for National Lampoon's Vacation. It's going to be torn. I'll be reaching towards the sky with my tennis racket that I'll get. It's going to be great.
Just for the photo shoot.
Yeah, of course. Just for the photo shoot. Okay. And then I'll sell it at Facebook Marketplace when I'm doing my horse obstetrician work. Obstetrics, that's what it is. Bindi writes, hi, I am a sometimes listener of Good Morning Night Vale. Okay. And part of Gen Z.
Honest.
I'm an upcoming senior in high school. Oh, I wanted to say that, one, you have at least one Gen Zer in your audience. And two, I have no clue who the Jerky Boys are. Never heard of them before. Was very confused. There were things called cassettes, Bindi. And we would use them to listen to things. And these cassettes were underground cassettes. You would get copies of these two morons in New York making crank calls. And then eventually they got a record deal. And that's how that worked. But who knows if you're even listening to this episode to find out that we answered one of your fan zone submissions. But Bindi, have a nice day. You say to us, I say to you, have a nice day. And good luck in your senior year of high school. That is
wow.
A mind.
It's a wild time. Yeah,
you definitely were alive when I was in high school. For sure you were. I'm definitely not old enough to be your parent. Anyway. Or grandparent.
Or grandparent.
Wait, what? How active was I when I was a kid? Was I the kid in seventh grade who had sex?
Oh, yikes.
There's always one couple, like in sixth grade, seventh grade, who you heard had sex. You don't know if they did or they didn't. You never get the straight story because it's not someone you know personally. You just hear about it and then, like, I heard they had sex. And their first names rhymed. So you know it's true. That was in my case. They don't always rhyme. Anyway, have a great senior year of high school. Thank you, Bindi. Thank you to everybody out there in the audience. You know, when we're not talking about tubes up your asshole or the Jerky Boys or sex,
preteen sex, we are
available.
No!
For everybody who loves Night Vale and who loves our show, you can wear the latest Night Vale shirt, the official, a great new t-shirt is available right now, as well as our first ever tea towel. The tea towel is fantastic. It is, you can learn finally the ingredients to make a proper fan zone calzone. They are listed right there on the tea towel.
Pretty cool.
So please get those, check them out. Wear and wipe your face with our podcast. The next episode will be negotiations. Until then, good morning, Night Vale. Good morning.
Good Morning, Night Vale is a Night Vale Presents production. It is hosted by Symphony Sanders, Hal Lublin, and Meg Bashwinner. It is edited by Felicia Dominguez and mixed by Vincent Cascione. It is produced by Meg Bashwinner. Theme music by Disparition. And special thanks to our fans for submitting their thoughts this week. Leave us a voicemail at 929-277-2050 or email us at info@goodmorningnightvale.com to share your theories and ask questions or to add something new to the great candy corn debate. This show is powered by our patrons like Jay Connett, Jen Riegler, Jennifer Coons, Jessamine Reed, and Jessica B. If you are interested in supporting this show in exchange for lots of fun, exclusive, insider, hyper cool kid content, check us out at patreon.com/goodmorningnightvale. For more info on this show, go to goodmorningnightvale.com and follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Night Vale Chat. Special thanks to Joella Knapp, Jeffrey Craner, and Joseph Fink. The calzone ingredient of this week is the anticipation of Canadian Thanksgiving looming in the maple syrup-scented air. Woo!
From the creators of Welcome to Night Vale, Alice Isn't Dead, and Within the Wires comes a new Audible original. Unlicensed. In the outskirts of Los Angeles, where the cul-de-sacs and strip malls sprawl into the desert, two unlicensed private investigators scrape by on whatever small cases come their way. But when a teenage girl pleads for them to take the strangest case of their career, this unlikely pair, with no resources and no backup, will follow a trail of seemingly unconnected cases, which will lead them to a ransom, a murder, a mysterious wellness center, and a conspiracy that might go all the way to the governor.
It's important to catch small fires early. They don't stay small for long.
Unlicensed. Available now at audible.com/unlicensed.